Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 336, At His Feet. Guest minister Elizabeth Frauhager delivered this message on Sunday, September 17th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
God is good, amen? Yes. Are you all ready this morning to receive the word of the Lord?
Yes.
I am so excited to be here and deliver this message. I actually woke myself up this morning preaching. Come on, Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessings to you all. I want to welcome those of you watching on YouTube and Facebook. And I just now saw that my mother is watching. I want to honor my mother today. Today is her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you. I honor you and I bless you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for watching. Bendiciones, madre. She speaks Spanish. So I know there's others from other countries watching us, from Peru and Cuba. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We are so blessed to have you this morning. And I am super excited to bring this message to you. And like I said, I woke myself up preaching this morning. And just to get us all on the right track, I remember my son, he's 17 now, Tommy, but he told me one day, Mom, he said, would you quit praying so loud in tongues in the middle of the night? And I was like, what? He goes, yes, you pray in the middle of the night. You wake me up. I got to go to school in the morning. I said, okay. Well, sometimes I wake up and I'm praying in tongues. And then sometimes I wake up and I just pray in tongues. And I pray loud because if it's, you know, something that the enemy's coming against my family, I'm going to shake my house, right? It's praying in tongues. So it woke him up. And then he said, and by the way, Mom, try not to blow your shofar at 3 in the morning. And I'm thinking, I don't blow the shofar at 3 in the morning. My son is hearing the shofar at 3 in the morning, you guys. Yes, the Holy Ghost. The shofar is being played at my house. So I said, yes, son. And I didn't say I wasn't playing. I was like, yes, son, I'll stop praying. But isn't that amazing how God will try to wake us up and say, wake up, oh, you sleeper.
Yes.
Amen, amen. So I'm excited to share with you this story. This morning, I want the Holy Spirit to stir up a hunger in us to see God like never before. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, say all of these things, will be added unto us. Seek him first, he says. Seek ye first God and his righteousness. We're seeking other things. You know, in today's world is so busy, such a demanding world, right? We can't get easily distracted. I don't know about you. Who gets distracted from time to time? Who cleans like me? You start in the kitchen and then you do a little bit and then you go to the living room and it's like, oh, the laundry's going on and then you end up in Tommy's, in my son's room and then I'm looking at stuff and then I'm back to my room and then like, oh, what was I doing? Get distracted very easily. It's a good thing I'm cleaning my house, but I'm getting distracted and I'm not staying focused on the task, amen? We are so busy and we are neglecting the one thing that is needed. Intimacy with God the Father. We were singing this morning the amazing songs, Pastor Santos, perfect for the message. We need to see God like never before. Jesus is coming, you all. He's coming. Tell your neighbor he's coming. We must be ready. We must be ready, amen. We got to be ready. So this morning, I am so excited. I was like, Sister Aaliyah, we're over here shearing, you know, and God is all excited, and I'm excited, and I'm high energy too, like her, and I had coffee, look out. And so last night, I'm printing out my message, right? It's like, I know what I'm, so I'm typing away, and then my printer wasn't working, so I drove over to my mother's house, and graciously, my brother Alex printed out for me, and I'm thinking, 6 pages. Oh, my goodness. Get ready, people. But don't panic. Don't panic. It's big lettering and double spacing. So we won't be here till 4. I promise we'll get you out here on time. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we just love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercies that are new every day. Father, we love you, and we come humbly before you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. This is your service. We are your people. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak. All of you and none of me. All of you and none of me. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive what your Spirit is saying to us this morning. We bless you. Jesus, be glorified this morning. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And everybody says, amen, amen and amen. Amen. What a hungry bunch we have in here. The word says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And anyways, I am bringing the word of the Lord from the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you have your Bibles or your smartphones. I was just thinking about that this morning, the smartphones, you know. What did we have back then in the days? Was it the dumb phones? I remember, you guys, I work in an assembly plant here at General Motors, and some of you work there too. And I remember back in the day that I used to strap a fanny pack on myself because I work in the assembly plant, so they allow us. I'm so blessed to work there, you guys. I've been there 28 years, and I'm so blessed to be there because I'm able to listen to the Word of God all day long on one earbud. Right, Lenina? We can listen to the Word of God all day long. So back in the day, go back 15 years, I strapped this fanny pack on me with the CD player, you guys. Some of you young folks don't even know what that is. With a CD player, right? And I'm building trucks, and I'm listening to the Word of God, CD after CD after CD. That was my investment. I'll buy all Joyce Meyer CDs. I got them all. Anybody wants them, let me know. And I remember I used to share them with Sister Julie. And we're like, oh, next tape, you know. And then you have to stop and hurry up and try to work and put the next CD on, right? And then we moved up in the world a few years later, and we had the other little, I don't even know what it's called, MP3, IP, whatever deal. So then I was, okay, so smaller. I still had to wear a little fanny pack so I can pack it in there. And then we got even smarter and got these little clip things that you can just clip on, right? And download all your CDs on that. So I downloaded all my CDs, and I'm listening to the Word of God, day in and day out. And it says, meditate on His Word, day in and day out. So just imagine making the time that I'm at work, getting paid to hear the Word of the Lord. Come on now. I was hungry. I was feeding myself. I was learning and growing. Amen. Who wants to grow this morning? The Spirit of the Lord wants us to grow this morning, so buckle your seatbelts, because I don't want you falling out of your seats. Because some of what God is saying in these days is like, get ready, because I'm coming, and we must be ready. So let's go to the book of Luke 10. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and that is the version that I use. And you guys, I got myself a new Bible, but I'm just going back to my old one, and look at it, it's falling apart, but it's okay because it's still the Word of God, and I'm trying here not to it to fall, but I just, you know, you get used to a Bible, and you just can't go to that. But so I'm in transition. I'm growing. So I'm going to read from the New King James translation, and this is the story of Mary and Martha. You all heard that story, right? It was in the town of Bethany. And Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem, maybe less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus and his disciples went to visit his friends. Jesus had friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So let's read from Luke 10, verse 38. And it says, now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. Tell your neighbor, distracted. She was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And I could just hear Martha's like, you know how we get, tell her to help me. Come on, I'm doing all this stuff. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. How many of you know when in the Bible when it says twice, it's like, pay attention. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Thank you, Father, for your word. So let's take a look at this story more in detail. Mary and Martha were two sisters. They were great, godly women of God. Amen. Gracious and loving. Yes, both of them. Amen. And they were friends with Jesus. And they loved Jesus. And Jesus loved them. Amen. Amen. This message this morning is not about Mary versus Martha. It's not. We need them both. Pastor Harley here, we got to go do missions. We got to go preach the word. We got to go, right? We can't be sitters. But this story, I want to take it from the perspective that to be Martha's, to be Mary before Martha. So it's not a Mary versus Martha story, because we need both of them, right? Like we said. This message is about Mary before Martha. Tell your neighbor, Mary before Martha. I want you guys to get engaged, because if I'm just the only one up here talking, it's no fun. Ask Pastor Harley and Sarah. It's no fun. We're just talking. I heard many sermons, and I'd be like, amen. That's a good one to say. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Ooh, I felt that one. I'm just giving you some hints so that you can help me all out. Okay? Because I don't want to be the only one talking up here. Glory. Preach it, sister. Preach it. Come on. Come on, right? That's usually hear me in the background cheering on Pastor Sarah. Preach it. I hear you. Yes, Lord. Okay? So those are some cues that you can, join with me. Help them, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Be cheerleaders, right, Sister Aaliyah? Come on, let's just get encouraged. Let's be hungry for the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word. She didn't say Mary was talking to Jesus. She said Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. I don't know about you, but some of us go to the Father in prayer, and we got this long list. And I was thinking about bringing a grocery receipt to show you guys the list, but I haven't been to the grocery store in a while, so I didn't have one on hand. I try to eat everything I got at home before I go buy more stuff, because things are not fitting in my closet. So I gotta get some of the stuff out of the way. I've been eating vegetable soup, cabbage soup, and I'm just tired of cabbage soup now. I want something different today. Oh, come on. But it's hot. Sometimes we gotta go through some things, right? We gotta go through some things to get to the smooth road, right? It isn't always easy. Being a Christian is always easy, but God says, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna be for you. I'm gonna make that crooked path straight for you. I'm gonna hold your hand. I'm going to send angels before you and clear out the path. Amen. I'm going to pour my favor on you. Sometimes I'm like, wow, Lord. I'm like, wow, Lord, you're awesome. You're awesome. I say, my daughter, I love you. I know you. I know you because you've been sitting at my feet. Amen. Amen. But let's take a look at Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha wanted to honor the Lord. Martha was a good cook. Any good cooks in the house? Yeah, okay, I'm coming to your house. Anybody else? Cause
I'm a good eater.
Good eater, that's me too, but I'm saying good cooks. Got any good cooks in the house? Because that's where house we want to visit. You writing notes, Sister Rivka? Because that's where we want to go. Oh, well, either way, it's okay. Just cook. Amen? Because, you know, we like Sister Leah said earlier, we're unique, right? We're unique. We're made different. You know, some were made to be cooks. Some were made to be, you know, good, clean. I could clean a house like nobody's business, you know, but, you know, don't ask me to cook because it'll be good, but it'll be palatable, but you'll get fed. You won't go hungry. Amen. But we have certain things. I know a friend that can grow a garden like out of nothing. You know, she can grow a garden out of nothing. I'll tell you my garden story, lady. You will laugh. Anyway, so let's take a look at Martha. She was busy serving. She wanted to honor the Lord with what she did best. So she was busy in the kitchen. And Pastor Santos, you can put that picture up because I love putting pictures up because it just puts you in that place. Like, let's go see what Martha was doing. And once he gets it up there, we'll take a look at Martha was busy preparing a meal for her master. Amen. So sometimes we have choices. I like choices. Oh, she says point to this one. Thank you. So here's Martha busy with, you know, the cooking and all the things. And here's Mary. Take a look at Mary. She's like, I'm not getting distracted. Uh-oh, my master's here. Jesus is here. Yeah, he's hungry, but hey, Jesus can turn fish and bread into, hey, maybe he can turn it into a great dish. I don't know. Mary wasn't worried about the cooking. He wasn't worried about what Jesus was going to drink. He was lavish and on him, loving on him, loving on the master. Amen. But Martha was distracted. She was unable to concentrate. And by the look of this picture, she's like going, wait a minute, I'm doing all this work and Mary's just sitting there, right? We all get distracted from time to time. Amen. We get busy. We get busy at home. We get busy at church. We get busy at work. Busy, busy, busy. Sometimes I thought that was my middle name at some time. Busy, busy. We're so busy around Jesus. Many believers, we worship the God of busyness, the God of distractions, the God of anxiety, running around being busy, running around Jesus. Hey, let's just say this is Jesus. I'm running around Jesus, but not actually communing with him, not sitting at his feet, not encountering him. One encounter with the Lord Jesus, it will mark you forever. Trust me, it will mark you forever. I know some of you have had those encounters. I remember mine quite well. Michael Livingood was here, and he was preaching maybe a couple years, 3 years ago, and he was preaching, and I was sitting right back there with Sister Tanya is sitting. And Michael Livingood was preaching, and everything he was saying, it was my dream that I've had 8 years before. And I thought, God, he's saying everything about my dream, Lord. And then I asked him, when's it going to start, Father? Just back there in my own, when's it going to start? When I said, when's it going to start, Michael Livingood called me up. And he didn't pray for me. He just said, it starts now. I put his finger on my forehead, and down I went right there. I think there's still a mark. No. Down I went right there. Down I went right up there, out in the Holy Ghost, and I had an encounter with Jesus, a powerful encounter with Jesus. And he was calling me to do things for him. And I remember saying, yes, Lord, I'll go. And I grabbed his hand in my vision, and I ran. I was pulling him, like, literally, come on, Jesus, let's go. And he said to me, not in your strength. And he swooped me up and carried me. And then I came out of that vision, and I just cried and cried. That was on Saturday. I cried all day Saturday. I cried all day Sunday. I was just in the back there crying. Those of you that were here, I cried all day Sunday night. Monday morning, 5 o'clock, hit the clock, and I'd been crying all night. I didn't go to work, y'all. I called in. I'm gonna sit here with Jesus. I called in the vacation day, and I cried some more all day Monday. Then Tuesday, I went to work, and Pastor Harley called me. Are you okay? I think he was praying for me. How many of you know pastors care for you? They call you when you know that they're praying for you. He's called me many times. I'm like, how does he know? He's like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Like, how does he know? Because they talk to the Lord. They sit in the secret place. Amen. That's where we get our manna. That's where we get the discernment, right? Being close to the Father, listening to his still small voice. You know, the word says, I know my Father's voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. How will you know the voice of the stranger if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus? If you're not hearing the Lord? We must know him like never before, church, and encounter him in a special way. And after that occasion, I'll never forget, that marked me for life. I've had many, many visions, many encounters, and I'm just in awe for the Lord. And I want some more. And I want you guys to experience that as well. If you haven't, he's here. I feel the Lord. He's here. And he wants to connect with you. Because we're not actually looking at him. We're not connecting with him. And he wants that. He wants that so much. We want to connect with him and let him transform us. Let him transform us. And come to him not as a servant, like Martha, not as a friend, but as a son of the most living God, a father-son relationship. That's what he longs for, that we can call on him, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. Run to his lap when everything's going chaotic and when it's not. Because some of us just run to the secret place like, oh, this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. And then, you know, a week, 2 weeks pass, and they're like, oh, God's like, what? Well, wait. I haven't said anything to you. You brought your request before me, and you worshiped me, but you didn't sit to hear what I have to say. We didn't hear. We're too busy. We got to get in and get out, like a drive-through. It's not a drive-through. Amen. We are busy at home, busy at work, busy with our families. These are all good things, you guys. Busy with our friends, busy at church, busy watching our favorite show. And I'm not against television. I mean, it's not for me. The Lord took that from me like 14 years ago, and he said, that's it. But I do sometimes watch some stuff with my mother when I go visit her. And it's okay. But we're busy. We set time aside for stuff on TV, for parties. I mean, come on, all you ladies, we set time aside for our hair. How many of y'all, especially when you get highlights and all that stuff, we sit there for 3 hours sometimes. Right? And we sit still. And we're good. But we can't sit 3 hours in the presence of the Lord. I know I'm preaching to myself. Because if you don't need it, I do. I want to come up higher in this area. Because this is the time and the hour that we must hear the Spirit of the living God. Because we'll get out there and it's like, was that the Lord? No, was that the Lord? No. We need to be so still in his presence to hear him speak, to whisper, so we know, hey, I know my Father. That's not my Father. Amen. To sit with our Bibles open for him to speak. Amen. Let us not be so messy like Martha and neglect sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to learn from Mary. We really do. Just look at the picture. I don't even have to preach. Just look at the picture. Right? We need to learn from Mary. Have we learned to sit at his feet with our Bibles open and our mouths shut? Tell your neighbor with your mouth shut. And hear him. Because you know, you know me, and I like to talk. I was born to talk. I'm a good communicator. That's what I like to say. I'm a good communicator. If you're going to be quiet, I'm going to talk. You know, Sister Tanya. Okay? Can you imagine if we're all talkers? Nobody will get a word in. You know, I like to sit with Sister Julie because I get a lot of words in. Or, you know, if I sit with Sister Tanya, we all want to talk. Don't we, Sister Tanya? Amen. Amen, sister. So we need to be more like Mary and hear him. We have to learn. Some of you got this. Maybe you just need a little boost. Some of you aren't even there. Yes, Lord, I hear you. We're all in different lanes, right? We're all in different areas in a walk with the Lord. Because if I was up here 10 years ago, I wouldn't even be talking in this microphone. You know, I was still like in the world. I see maybe 15 years ago, maybe not 10 years, but 15 years ago. I've been there and done that. You name it. I don't want to give you my testimony, but you know what I mean. I was lost. I was broken. I was hurt. But then I found Jesus. And he redeemed me. Amen. So how we learn to prioritize the time and a place to meet with Jesus. Yes, make an appointment. Just like you make an appointment with your hairdresser. Just like you make your appointment to get your oil change. Just like you make your appointment to watch the Colts on the Sunday night. That's probably somebody on Facebook here. Just like you make an appointment to go to the gym. Right? Or go have dinner or lunch with your best friend. Oh, you just sit there for hours and hours and hours. Amen? So let's pencil him in our daily schedule. Make an appointment with Jesus that nothing and no one can keep you from meeting with him. Amen? And we say, oh, what are you doing Tuesday evening? Oh, I'm busy. Because, well, maybe we should say we have an appointment with the Lord. I have an appointment with the King, and I don't mean Elvis Presley. Friday night, I got an appointment with the King of Kings. And it was like, ooh, Elvis? No. Got an appointment with Jesus, my Savior, the lover of my soul. The holiest moment of our day is to sit at his feet. We were singing, you are holy, you are holy. We can sing all kinds of songs, but when we walk out the door, he stops being holy. I don't know what this is for. We open up our Bibles at church, and we don't open them back up again until the next Sunday. That's if we come. Come on. Who am I talking to here? We come through that door, and we are so thirsty and so hungry, and we are on an E. We try to get that little bit more gas so we can get our vehicle going. Just enough about Wednesday, we are just like going. We just barely pull it in the driveway and just on empty. We got to stay filled with the Word of God. We take time to make these, all you cooks, fancy meals, right? And we eat every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, right? We take time for that. We need to make God the number one priority. And trust me, I'm standing up here and I'm preaching to myself first. Big time. I'm growing in the area, but I need more. I need more. And I notice that the more I get of Jesus, the more I want. Have you ever had gummy bears? I'm a gummy bear person. You get one, or who's chip person? You know what I mean. Your favorite snack. You have one. It's like, hey, you can't just have one chip. Right? You got to get more and more. And gummy bears, more and more. And chocolate, Pastor Sarah, more and more. We want to be hungry and thirsty for Jesus, to have more of him. Amen? The more time we spend with God, the more we want to be with him. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, which means remain, under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to abide in Jesus and remain with Jesus. Mary was at his feet. She was not worried about Martha or anyone for that matter. Do you see her? Her eyes are fixed on Jesus. She didn't know what was going around. She wasn't worried about, Martha, do you have enough potatoes back there? No. She was fixed on Jesus. She didn't even care who was around. Look at her posture. She didn't care. But Martha approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I don't know if you've been there before, but you're doing something and everybody else is having a good time, but if you prepare like a Christmas dinner and you're doing all the work and everybody's laughing in the living room and you're, in the kitchen, getting the toast, getting the coffee, getting everything ready so everybody have a good meal. And they're like, they're over there just enjoying themselves, enjoying each other's presence. Amen. See, Martha began to complain. She began to look at her sister Mary and compare. Ooh, that comparison spirit. We must squish it down. Amen. She began to compare and to complain to Jesus. See, Martha took her focus off what she was doing for Jesus. Amen. And the moment we take our eyes off what we're doing and we put our eyes on somebody else, we start comparing. The spirit of comparison is so prevalent at work, at home even with brothers and sisters, and at the church as well. So we're going to deal with that today. Help us, Lord. I know I need this. Don't fall off your chair here. Buckle up, amen. The moment we begin to look at others and compare, we lose focus. Comparison is the thief of joy. It stole Martha's joy. She was happily cooking for the Lord. But then she looked at Mary and said, wait a minute. I'm the one doing all the work. And there she is. Oh, so in love with the Lord. Amen. And she began to compare. And comparison will steal our joy. I don't know about you, but I want to squish that down. I'm going to leave it here today. Amen? Hebrews 12. I'm going to the book of Hebrews now. 12, 1 through 2. I got it marked here. Okay, Hebrews 12 to 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, run your race. Any runners in here? Just me? Pray for me, you all. I signed up the beginning of the year to the 4 Foot Fitness, so I'm about to run a 10K at the end of this month. And I need prayers. I asked my brother Michael to sign up with me so I can have a little push, and we've been running a little bit, but man, come to the mile and a half, and I'm whooped. So we run, walk, run, walk. If I begin to compare myself with my brother, he's taller, he's a man, he's got strong legs, I'm going to fall short. So I tell him, you know what? Let me run my pace. I try to run his pace, and I about died. And he's like, I said, well, I can run longer, but don't go so fast. And so now I'm like, let's go my pace. He goes, okay. I said, but if you want to, you go ahead. Not a problem. Let me just listen to my worship music. And I'm just praying in tongues. You know, get more strength. That's how you get more strength. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then I go, that tree, if I make it to that tree, I'm good. And the tree's there, like, oh, I got the tree. Oh, maybe I go a little longer, you know. And so now I'm up to 2 miles. And I got 6.2 miles, you guys, or 6.1, I can't remember. So I got a ways to go. But you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to run. I'm going to walk. And if I have to crawl, I will crawl. I pray I don't have to. That's why I need you all prayers to pray for me. Amen. No, that's right. I'll stay focused on my lane. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So run your race. Stay in your lane. Oh, we got it. We miss that a lot. Stay in your lane. What happens when you're driving? I mean, come on, we're drivers here. We got a driver's license, well, except a couple of kids, but you're supposed to stay on your lane, right? But in life, we're all over the place. What happens if we get out of our lanes? I prophesy, you're going to crash. Okay? It's an easy one right there. Or you're going to be a big crash. Amen? So focus on Jesus. And I'll tell you a little story. You guys will get a kick out of it because it's a good example of how we look and compare to other people. And, of course, I got to air out my laundry so for you all to learn some stuff and to humble myself. But so I was in fifth grade, and you all know I'm from Mexico. Pastor Santos, viva Mexico! Yesterday was Independence Day, for all you guys to know. Independence Day was, you know, New Year, Rosh Hashanah, Independence Day, and then we got Pastor Don's birthday, and today my mother's birthday. It's just a festivity all weekend. Amen. So I was a runner, and in fifth grade, I was fast, and me and my best friend were the fastest runners in the school, so we went to this big stadium in the middle of Chihuahua, and we were out to run against other schools. You know, Mexico is not as, you know, even back in the days, and I'm not telling you how long it was. Not that I care, you know my age, but it was a long time ago. Okay. I've been in the United States 42 years, so you do the math. So I was in fifth grade, and I was running with my friend. We're all excited to run the race set before us, right, to beat the other team. But let me tell you, I'm so ashamed, but you guys are going to grow with this. I was not concerned with the other schools. I was not concerned with the other runners. I was concerned with my friend. She better not pass me. I'm going to run fast. And she was in the lane next to me. So, you know, runners, if you ever run a race, you got all the lanes, and you must stay in your lane. You cross the lanes, you're disqualified. Can you imagine if we crossed the lane, Jesus said, you're disqualified. You already over here looking at your sister. You're disqualified. He gives us so much grace. But anyway, at the race in fifth grade, they don't give you grace. You get on your other lane, you're done. Even if you get first place. So my friend was to my right. And so they did the gun deal, and we take off. And I'm running first place. And then the other school was on the other side. But every time I took a walk, I looked back. Where's she at? Where's she at? She's catching up to me. I was losing momentum. I was losing time. I was losing focus. But my only concern was, as long as she don't pass me, I'm good. Come on. This is for somebody here. She's my best friend. But as long as she don't pass me, I'm good. I don't care if I get second or third. But as long as she don't pass me, she'd be last. I don't know who I'm talking to here, somebody. So we ran, and I was first place. But I was so focused on my friend, I got distracted. I got prideful. Anybody know that word, pride? I got prideful. Like, as long as I beat her, I can tell everybody in school, I beat her. Regardless if I came, like, almost to the last, right? So the race ended. My eyes were not, it was only focused on the end for a little bit. But when I went like this, I'm like, where's she at? Is she catching up to me? Where's she at? I don't know who I'm speaking to. And so I won second place because the other school, you know, she probably was lower than me, but she went looking back to see who was looking at her. And she got ahead and she won. And I got second place. My friend got third. Listen, I still got some of that in there. Help me, Jesus. You know, but let me ask you this morning, church, who are you running against? Who are you running against? The comparison game is a dangerous game to play. It is. Who on your life have you set your eyes on? Are you running your race according to their pace instead of chasing the purpose and the assignment that God has given to you to do? Come on. Comparison is the number one destroyer of destiny. It really is. The enemy wants to distract us and then destroy us. When we compare to others, all we do is exert all types of emotional and psychological and spiritual energy trying to compete with someone God did not intend you to be. Come on. The enemy wants you to compare yourself to somebody else. That's his number one weapon. If he can get you to compare, well, but you're just done, just like I was on that race. Remember that he got kicked out of heaven, right? That's the only reason Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. He was the most beautiful angel. He was the head of worship. Amen? He was a leader in heaven. He was created to be an expression of God's glory. But then he started to compare himself with God. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. Read that story in Isaiah. It's found in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. He began to compare himself with God. So he got kicked out of heaven. Because God's not going to have that. Amen. He's Almighty God, all-knowing, omnipresent, right? So he got kicked out of heaven, and that's how he's got his job, to steal, kill, and destroy. Comparison will kill your joy, will steal your peace, and will destroy your destiny. We need to shut down comparison immediately. When the enemy begins to whisper at you, look at her, look at him, he's better than you. She's better than you. She's a better cook. He's a better gardener. He has bigger muscles. I don't know what the enemy tells you. Shut it down. You know how you shut it down? How I've been shutting it down? I bless them. I say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give her more. Give him more, Lord. Oh, he got a race. Oh, come on, God. Oh, go for it. Cheer them on. The enemy won't have a foothold if you cheer them on, if you bless them. If you bless them. Oh, she's got longer hair. Praise you, Lord. I'm trying to grow mine. Oh, and then you got long hair. You want short hair. And then you got blue eyes. You want green eyes. You got your light skin. You want tan. You want the tanning beds. Stay out of those tanning beds. Prophesying. Stay out of those tanning beds. Amen. Oh, her house is bigger than mine. Yeah, but she's got more room to clean. Who wants to clean a big house with four bathrooms? I don't. No thank you, right? No thank you. So the enemy was whispering at Martha. Oh, we don't see the picture no more. But you can see her face. She was disgusted. Yeah, there it is. She's like, Like, I don't see, I can see closer. Look at her. She's like, am I missing something here? What am I missing? She began to compare. You know, help us, Lord. Like the enemy was whispering at Martha, look at your sister Mary. She's not helping you. Go say something to Jesus. Make it right. Make him make it right. Amen. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's like, I'm doing all this clean. I know sometimes I do with my son. I'm picking up and I'm doing this. And what are you doing? Amen. I'm cooking. I'm cleaning. I'm working. What are you doing? Godliness with content is great gain. Godliness with content, doing things from a place of being content. We cannot be content when we're comparing ourselves with someone else. Because somebody's always going to be better than you, bigger than you, better, brighter, whatever, stronger. Be content with who God created you to be. Sister Aaliyah hit it a little bit earlier. Be content with what God created you to be. Be you. Be unique. There's not anybody like you. There's only one you. There's only one Elizabeth. There's only one Pastor Sarah. There's only one Nita. Sister Nita's full of energy. Get close to Nita. You just get all energized. Amen? And she's in her 90s, so bless you, sister. So be content with who you are. You are a masterpiece. When we compare ourselves to others, we're like telling God, you didn't do a good job with me. We're telling the Father, hey, you missed it here. You are a masterpiece created by our Heavenly Father to do what He called you to do, to run your race that is set for you. I can't expect Pastor Sarah to run my race, or Pastor Karen, or Brother Paul. I can't. And I'm not going to run theirs because I have uniqueness. I have different personality. I'm an extrovert. I want to be around people. I want to talk. Maybe her race to be quiet and to be submissive. And I don't know. We can't like pick and choose what we want to be. We got to do and be what God has called us to do. So let's take a look at 41. And it says... When Jesus answered Martha, let's go back to that scripture here. 41. Yeah, Luke 10, 41. And Jesus answered and said to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. Mary chose the good part. Are we choosing the good part? Are we choosing Jesus? Are we going to the secret place to meet with the Father? Mary's priority was to be in His presence and to hear every word. Amen. That Jesus spoke. Her position and her posture was of humility, of worship. She was focused on Jesus and she was not distracted by anyone. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Oh, I feel the Lord. Oh, it's getting hot in here. Is it the lights or is it just the Holy Ghost? Whew. Go into your room and shut the door. Go into your room and shut the door. You know, I remember, and I know exactly the time. It was 2015, because the movie The War Room came out. Y'all remember that movie? Who's watched that movie, The War Room? It's good. If you haven't seen it, see me. I have the movie. Let's see what my time, how am I doing with time? Okay, good. Praise you, Lord. We're coasting. Come on. You guys are all getting this in. I love it. I feel, I see you're wanting to grab onto this word. So 8 years ago, 2015, I watched that movie and I loved it. And then I just was thinking last night, her name was Elizabeth. The Schreier, I think is her name, Priscilla Schreier, Her name in the movie was Elizabeth. And I was like, oh, how great. She needed to get in the secret place because her coffee was lukewarm. You guys that seen the movie, you know. So at that time, when this movie came out, I was in a Bible study, a Wednesday Bible study, and we were reading the book that was called Secrets of the Secret Place. That book, I learned so much from that book. And so I was following along with the group. And so I'll tell you a story about my closet. Because after I seen the movie, I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to be in the closet, right? Well, my closet is little. Those of you that have been at my house, you know, it's just a little area. It's a walk-in closet, though. So you can just get in there just a little bit. And I have like a stepping stool, a plastic stepping stool, so that I can get out there and grab my clothes. So like, I'm going to try this thing that's said in the movie, you know. Because at the time in our class, we were saying we were going to sit before the Lord and be still. Like, not say a word. And the first assignment was 5 minutes. I can do 5 minutes. That's easy, right? So I go in my closet, right? I sit in the stool. Then I have the light on, so I sit in there. I take my Bible. I take my notepad and a pen, just in case God says something to me in 5 minutes. So I'm sitting there. It's like, okay, I can. And I set my timer. Okay, 5 minutes. You know, back then, it was 15 years ago, y'all. I'm still pretty, you know, pretty new in the Lord. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, 5 minutes. I kid you not. I'm sharing all my dirty laundry. I kid you not. I'm there 30 seconds, and I'm like, ooh, that shirt goes with this pants. I didn't know I had those shoes. So I'm sitting in my closet, sitting in this stool, looking at, ooh, wait, when did I get, why do I have two pairs of the same black pants? What? And so I'm looking. This whole 5 minutes went on putting outfits together. That's what I did. Was waiting on the Lord. And I was like, and then it would beep, beep, beep. Like, wait a minute, I got another outfit. I failed miserably. Miserably. So the next day, okay, I'm going to do better. Now it's 10 minutes because we're supposed to increase 5 minutes out of more. So I go in the next day, 10 minutes, and I'm like, well, I failed miserably, Lord. I'm so ashamed of myself. What can I change? What must I change to stay focused in my closet? The stool is already comfortable enough, but something, because my eyes are going all over the place, looking for new outfits. Amen. So I said, okay, I'm going to go in there with the candle. I'm going to shut the light off so I can get focused. So I go in there for 10 minutes, and I'm sitting, and I was like, okay, I can't see nothing. I can't see no clothes. I'm doing good. I'm sitting there. I'm like, dang, 10 minutes is a long time when you're just sitting still and not looking at clothes and none of the thing. I have my little candle. I'm sitting there. And I was maybe at the 8-minute mark. And then I hear my son, Tommy, which was at this time, what, 11 years old or so? What, yeah, something like that. Eight. He was eight. Mom! I hear him cry. Mom! And I'm like, oh, man. I'm in the closet with the lights on. I'm in my room. My house is really little, so you can hear from the kitchen to my bedroom. Mom, where are you? I'm like, I'm in my room. You know, I screamed. And then he comes in my room. I had my door shut. So he comes in my room, and he goes, I can hear him going into my bathroom. I'm like, well, where are you, Mom? And I said, I'm in the closet. And he goes, what? I said, yeah, I'm in the closet. So he opens the closet, and he goes, Mom, what are you doing in the closet with the lights off? And with a candle. You look ridiculous. Because I had my tallit on. He says, you got a candle in there with all this clothes. You're going to start the house on fire. And I said, I'm waiting on the Lord. He giggled. He shut the door. And he went off. And he was giggling, you guys. And I was like, well, that was good. God didn't say anything to me. So as the day went on, it was 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And I'm like, okay, Lord, when you're going to say something? 35 minutes, you know. And so one day I'm there 1 hour. And, you know, sitting in a plastic stool, it's not all that fun. And I was like, oh, like my legs are getting cramped. And I'm trying to move. But I'm not coming out of that closet. until he speaks. I'm not coming out of the closet. So about the 1 hour mark, and I don't know, and maybe this is just me, but at the 1 hour mark, I heard the Lord said something to me. He gave me a scripture. It's like, oh, I hear you, God. And then I got a vision. And then another vision. And it was like a movie being played. I said, oh, this is good. I sat there a little longer. And I got hooked on sitting with the Lord and being still. So I want to stir that hunger in you this morning to sit at the Lord. Because I tell you, I'm not trying to toot my horn. I'm just trying to give you some ideas. After that 1 hour, an hour 30, got uncomfortable in there. And I needed more room. I want to pray in tongues, right? So I came out of my room, and my whole room was my secret place. And then I kneeled beside the bed, and it was, I had a mat there, but it wasn't very comfortable either, so I was on my knees. And then, so I sat in my room for a while, and I got one of my sisters, and I said, hey, I said, Mina, I love sitting before the Lord. It's up, going up to 2 hours, maybe three sometimes, but my knees can't take it. I want to be on my knees, and I'm laying out on the ground. And she said, well, I got something for you. She come the next day with a doggy bed. She not give me a doggy bed so I can lay comfortably and, you know, spend more time with the Lord. So I don't know what you have to change, what you have to do. I was hungry. I'm still hungry for the Lord. I'm stirring up a hunger in us to be in his presence, to love on him. Now, you know, it's been many years, but now I'm like, I love Saturday mornings when I don't have to work because I just lay in my bed with Jesus. I don't come out of there till 1, noon. And if Tommy's not home, I don't have to come out of there at all. I love it. Take the day off and be with Jesus. Amen? Spend time in his presence to be like Mary, because out of that place, you know, and I can see maybe Pastor Harley's like, no, wait a minute, they can't all be sitters. They can't all just be sitting still. It gets good, Pastor Harley. Trust me, I know it'll get good. Because from that place of sitting with Jesus, we get the strength, we get the manna, we get direction, protection, everything we need, and we're ready to go. When we come out of that secret place, we're ready. We're ready to go. We're ready to knock on houses, go to neighborhoods. We're ready to go on a mission trip. We're ready because we're full of God. We're full of him. You know, for Mary, she had everything she wanted in front of her. Everything. Jesus himself. Come on, guys. If Jesus walked in the room, are you going to be like worried about the sound, worried about? No. Be like, oh, there's God. There's Jesus. I want to be with him, right? To love on him and lavish on him. Amen. So for Mary, she had Jesus. She wanted to spend time with Jesus, loving on him, ministering to him. Yes, ministering to him. We minister to many people, but are we ministering to Jesus? Amen. Laying at his feet, at his presence. That was Mary's priority. I don't know about you or where you are this morning, but I want him to be my number one priority. I want to put him first in everything that I do. I want to choose the one thing that is needed. Who wants to choose that one thing that's needed? I know I do. I know I want more of God. We can't ever be full enough of God. We want more. We didn't even come close, you guys. Proverbs 16:11 says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. Come on. Let us be in his presence so we can gain strength, direction, protection, provision, favor, grace, mercy, fresh manna from heaven, fresh revelation, healing, deliverance. I know I've been in the secret place, and I know I've been getting deliverance. Joy, comfort, and peace, the shalom peace of the Father. Let us be like Mary and spend time with God. And out of that place, we can do great things for God with a great attitude to further the kingdom for His glory. For His glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for the online viewers, and then we'll have an opportunity to come in and pray with you guys. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless all of those that are watching on Facebook and the social media. And I bless those that will be listening to the podcast later on. Father, bless them from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And Father, I release healing to everyone watching. And I command healing over your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. I command healing to your leg, to your sciatica nerve. I command healing. That's for my mother in the mighty name of Jesus. Mother, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed right there in your home when you're watching, Mom. Total sanidad para ti, madre. Total sanidad. En tu pierna, en tu cadera. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. And I command depression to leave the people of God. Depression, you must go in the mighty name of Jesus. Anxiety, go. In Jesus' mighty name. Comparison, go. In Jesus' name. And I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In Jesus' mighty name. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. Thank you, Father, that you are a Father that opens doors that no man can shut. This year is the year of the open doors. In Jesus' mighty name. Doors will be open. Doors of favor. Doors of provision. Thank you, Lord. Financial freedom for some of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, may they receive this message and they spend time with you, Father. May they sit at your feet like Mary's and get charged up and go out like Martha's and further your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So thank you. I ended up over here. Thank you for all of you who are watching. I'm glad that you joined. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Have a blessed week. Bendiciones a todos en Cuba y en Perú. Y a mi familia que está viendo. Blessings to you all. God bless you. And until next week, be blessed.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.